Hey, and welcome, hello, to the Unbothered Bliss 62 podcast. I'm Jeannie, your host. I hope everyone is feeling hopeful and blessed. I had to take a break. I know it's been a minute, but I'm feeling so much better. So today, I'd like to share a topic in two parts. And this topic has been on my mind for the past year or so, but I really needed to look at two different, I guess, perspectives, as you would, if you will. I'll cover one today as a general overview, and the following will be like more specific in the next episode. So these topics have caused me to, feel conflicted and even benevolent in a way, as I've been thinking with questions to myself, right? As to why and how does one consider packing up their entire life in one place to relocate to another country? I ask myself, are people and families afraid? Are they angry? Or do they feel lost with their current circumstances or situations? Are they just worried? I'm sure that many people are, seeing the current state of the U.S. and its chaos. I also thought about how does one build and rebuild? There are many things to consider, right? You think about the people, the culture. If you have children, what schools do you look at? Do you look at an apartment, a house, and what that cost looks like, right? What does packing look like? Getting rid of things. Also, like a mental wellness around leaving family and friends. The cost of food, the cost of healthcare, that list can go on and on when you're making considerations. So today, I'd like to just touch upon the topic of relocation, as I stated, but more specifically as it relates to Black Africans and Black Americans. These are two distinct but similar groups or cultures of people, but for the most part, I'd like to just say, focusing on similarities, both groups are searching for better living situations. And I'm specifically talking about working class and some middle class families, but for the most part, working class families. They're looking for better economic opportunities, a social, emotional well-being. They're looking for some peace, comfort. And on a side note, I think it's important to consider how social media has more and more of an influence on culture as it relates to these two populations of people and perceptions. They're stereotypes, stereotypes for sure, that could possibly influence a move. So it's just, where does the culture fit in? I also was looking at similarities of both groups being tremendously influenced by colonial oppression, you know, during the slave trade that existed for many years from the African diaspora. And for many, experienced extreme racism and genocide in the most sinister of ways. Another thing I looked at was, you know, both groups of people, Black Africans and Black Americans, they're both struggling with the quality of education, you know, not just for themselves, but for their families, for their children. So again, I'm just looking at, you know, the housing situation can be mediocre at best, right? And just, you know, career goals, you know, decent jobs, maybe, and I'm sure it is, like few and far between. Now, I'm not an expert by no means. I'm just sharing some personal thoughts and what I've learned and giving food for thought. You know, I've been pondering and even considering a move myself, you know, reflecting on this country's, meaning the United States, current economic, social, emotional, even political situations, emphasis on political, and what that means for families and households. The state of these institutions are very uncertain and unstable, to say the least. I also was looking at, like, the violence and poor gun control laws. Many are just really just in search for living a life with intention and purpose, to be happy, to be at peace. But our current state in the U.S. have people feeling unbelievably anxious and worried. This so-called democracy we live in here in the United States is under attack for sure from the Trump regime and their desire to rewrite history and change to an oligarchy form of government. And some have even said like a dictatorship form of rule. But I have to shout out Bernie Sanders for putting, he's putting in the good fight against oligarchy. And he's on this current tour informing folks and giving knowledge. Hopefully people will be using their voices to push back and will vote against this current Trump regime. So this regime that Trump is trying to establish, right, is definitely at the forefront. And we know that that type of government is really for that top 1% of billionaires here in the U.S. So it's like everything we believed or thought was possible as far as living in that so-called American dream is in danger. Lies take precedent over truth to fit the narrative of the few in this country with wealth. But that's nothing new, right? And many have this sentiment, But on a personal note, I feel it's a concern now, more so for white America, because issues of living a life with some level of comfort is less and less secure. And I think it's important to mention there is this sentiment where there's even fear and anger. But again, that's the sentiment. But this is a feeling that many Black Americans have been feeling for decades upon decades. And this is what many in white America are feeling now. And everything is at the forefront for them. So I'd like to look at some stats I found alarming as it relates to, you know, that social, economic, and political system here in the U.S. I mean, everything has turned political these days. But I was looking at statistics that show states like Wisconsin, Michigan, and even Illinois, the state that I currently live in, have always been harsh on Black populations. And I think it's important and relevant to mention because there's this racial disparity that's even more so at an all-time high. I read that there's 8% unemployment, and that number may have changed. I got this from a 2024 report. Housing or home ownership is below 35%. Not to mention the situation, you know, with education inequality. I could not find accurate numbers there because, I mean, this issue is so complicated, this systematic disparity in education. But one thing I will say is that the quality of it, of education is and has always been full of bias and racial undertones. Another statistic I read recently from, I believe it was the Casey Foundation, and it stated that, what did it say? It stated that, you know, Black students are twice as likely than their white peers to be in inadequately funded school districts. And what did it say? 3.5 times more likely to be in chronically underfunded districts. And I think this was from a 2024 report released by the Albert Shanker Institute. But again, I've always known this to be true as an educator. Again, it's just seeing it in print, you know, it just hits differently. You know, these problems, I mean, are chronic, right? And they're so prevalent that I can understand how people are, or should I say white people are, frustrated and just want to move for something different. And, you know, just living and searching for a better way of life. Again, I'm looking at distinct but similar situations between Black Americans and Black Africans, working class Black Africans and Black Americans, right? And much of the disparity you see, like you see the similarities. You know, in Africa, there are serious problems as well. You know, poverty, unstable workforce, poor public services, just to name a few. And the economy is failing working class families there as well. I did get a statistic that, again, hit different as it relates to the economic issue. And I read that there's this income inequality where, like, the top 10% has most of the wealth. And the lower class or working and some working, lower class, working class, and some middle class families are struggling. You know, that 10% own as much as 56% of all the wealth in that country or in that on the continent, which, again, is just mind-blowing to me. Another situation that I think is really relevant would be everyone on the planet, right, in some way, shape, or form, struggled during the COVID-19 crisis. And I read that there was like 30 million more Africans who fell into extreme poverty during that crisis. And again, I'm speaking working class families where they earned $1.90 a day. That is a travesty. And some are still trying to recover from the crisis or epidemic. So what do we do? Many families are packing it up, moving abroad to other countries. Now I'm speaking of Black Americans at this point, moving to other countries like Thailand, Mexico, or even Central America, South America, for better living situations. Black Africans are doing the same, right? They're moving to Europe, the UK, France, Germany. So, but for today's discussion, I just want to focus on Africa. There's this Nigerian word, japa, which means running to or leaving a place abruptly. So do you move and become an expat in Africa or an expat in America? So I want to talk about Africa, their geographical size for a bit. And there are 54 countries, right? Not including the ones that have separated itself, you know, by some natural disaster. But Africa covers 20% of land area in the entire world, which I might add has beautiful natural resources and can easily fit the United States, China, India, and some Western European places, you know, on its borders. It is said that Africa's economy in 2020 had a total GDP of $2.6 trillion, and it was estimated by 2050 it could reach over $29 trillion, you know, due to things like improved governing, foreign investments, a growing middle class, you know, that kind of thing. Still speaking on the economy, I want to add some numbers for the United States. You know, just to do a little comparison, it is said that the U.S.'s GDP for 2024 was approximately 29.18 trillion, and it's projected to be around 30.35 trillion by the end of the second quarter, right, in 2024. And on a side note, though, we're not sure, like, what the U.S. numbers are anymore now that we have the Trump administration running things. It's amazing and terribly frightening to me how one can think of all this wealth and people are not being comfortable or secure in their current situations. So, I mean, we understand why people are leaving, right? But the bigger question for me is government, or governmental policy issues and problems, especially for working class folks. But in my opinion, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to feel this way, there's a need to change leadership, or should I say how leaders lead, that represent a more balanced or equal situation, especially when we're talking working class people who are struggling and some middle class families for that matter. I've been tuned into this YouTube channel, very interesting, with the name of DW, the 77%. And it's a German podcast which speaks on topics from different countries. But for the most part, I focused on an episode in Nigeria. It was in the form of a street debate type forum where the voices of Black Africans are heard, opinions are given, and I mean, it's from, again, working class people and some middle class folks who were, you know, showing some level of expertise on the systematic struggle, you know, as it related to the workplace, housing, views, gender, inequality, culture, ideology. So, I mean, there was a list of things that the channel focused on. So the debate offered like insight into some remedies or solutions for change at the end of this particular episode that I viewed. And also looked at solutions, or to begin looking at something new that could bring about a solution or change. Black Americans who are expats also was included in the episode that coexisted to find some peace. But there was also some level of discontent living there. You know, there were topics on traditions and culture, But for the most part, the economy and the workplace. There were many experiencing like economic struggle with jobs, careers, or just being an entrepreneur and what JAPA means for the economy, social, emotional connections. I can link the YouTube channel at the end if you like. You know, you'd like to check it out. But this episode focused on the challenges and opportunities in relocating. So it was, do you move to America or do you stay in Nigeria? And the episode offered like insight into jobs, its disparity, inequality, but also thinking in terms of collectively joining forces to alleviate some of the disparity and those stereotypes as it related to business ownership. You know, and what just really what that looks like in Africa and the United States. So I don't know. I was intrigued and wanted to know why there was this comparison and these conflicting opinions as it related to, you know, jobs. I don't know. I just felt a slight animosity. There was a comparison in personal opinions, can't talk, on what the U.S. offers outside of Africa, and an idea of privilege. Now, in a sense, it seemed to suggest American Blacks didn't see or understand the plight of the Black African in the country. So I had questions, like, could it be the influence of social media? Is some of this discontent or slight animosity, you know, is it some fact? Is it some of it? I don't know. Is there some truth to it? Or is it just a personal opinion? There was also opinions in the discussion from Black Americans I found interesting on getting along and working together and building community. There was this one woman from the U.S. who had lived in Nigeria for 10 years plus, I believe. And she stated, you know, it's okay to leave your country, but bring back the wealth to the motherland and grow the economy for everyone. So I don't know. This discussion for me was relevant to disinvestment that both countries are trying to escape from. You know, we see the struggle for both, you know, Black Africans and Black Americans. I don't know. It was very interesting, to say the least. I also want to share, and I can link this website as well, if you like. I checked out this video or this segment from this website on a very successful Black American who is from the United States, Kansas City, can't talk to be exact. And him relocating to Ghana. His story is beyond amazing. And although I applauded his success, I couldn't help but question whether entrepreneurship being doable or even possible for many Black Americans in the motherland. Just to give a little background to his life, he stated his mom moved him from Kansas City to the South. You know, it's a common inner city story, right? Where parents make the decision to move their child or maybe children away from the city because of the violence, the crime, or whatever trouble or wrong crowd that child is getting into or getting involved with. And staying with extended family in the South to get away from that danger. I know danger is a strong word, but quite frankly, it is getting away from danger. You know, and the South represents, I would say, a more laid back kind of feel. Being in the South, I'm sure many inner city parents feel the need to alleviate some of the problems of fear, you know, for their child to get back on track. What the South could probably and possibly represent for them, I don't know. He also stated more friends were killed than not, and some were in jail. And he began to speak on his journey towards success. He stated he played football, he got hurt, and began working. I believe he said he first started working as a barber. Then he connected with some influential people. He began working as a city inspector. I believe he said city inspector for a nonprofit. And that nonprofit connected him to working in agriculture on a fish farm, again, in Kansas City. And this prompted him, you know, to experience life in another country. He stated that in 2019, during the pandemic, he began visiting Ghana, and he just fell in love with the people and the culture, and he felt a sense of relief, like this calm, serenity, freedom, safety that he had not experienced in the United States ever. So he began using his social media and he started helping others visit Ghana and helping other tourists to either visit or relocate. And I'd say, a long story short, he's now a very successful contractor and builder of houses and condos in Ghana. The true entrepreneurial spirit, right? So again, I thought, people's situations are so complex. And I questioned who really excels, you know, is it a mindset Who's on the totem pole of success? Is this really changing the economy to support the prosperity for some or all of its people? Does relocation for starting a business continue, a class division? Or can we truly envision opportunities to work together and grow? I'm always hopeful. I'll start by saying that, but the reality is JAPA is happening in the United States and Africa for sure, but all over the world for that matter. And many are relocating at alarming rates. And we're all just trying to live a life with peace and follow our purpose. That joy, that happiness, we're all looking for it, right? Why are we complicating living in a world that has so many resources? I don't know. I think about government, which is supposed to support, guide, and fight for its people. But I also see extreme imbalances. I'll leave it there. Another issue that I thought about as it relates more specifically to the African continent, I couldn't help but think of what Marcus Garvey represented and his outlook on Blacks returning to Africa, which, he was truly a force and ahead of his time, in my opinion. He supported Pan-Africanism, which was a call for unity, self-reliance on its own people, meaning Black people, economic independence among its people. He encouraged pride. Just Black heritage, urging Black folks to create their own institutions and nations. His Back to Africa movement promoted the idea of really just building independently, right? But there were many white and European political and social institutions who feared his success and quickly made his work, his power among not just his people, but allies, just non-existent. I think there's one particular group who has, I don't think there's no one particular group who has all the answers, but collectively to support, right? And hopefully support those who need that economic, social, emotional change. I believe it is a mindset. I also believe that one should be open to change. Change can be good, and not just for that top 1% or 10%. That's if people are willing to support change, right? And who really care about the human condition. and living with intention by doing, by believing in what is really needed. But on a lighter note, also food for thought. And again, if you like to check it out, I would encourage you to. Roland Martin, a journalist who's awesome. He has a podcast and YouTube channel. And I saw on his platform this episode on, I mean, it was comical for sure. Yet I saw that people are actually taking this to heart. And it was, this particular episode was titled, "Pay Me to Move to Africa, Say Less." It was a parody with some truth, comical, yet people are creating GoFundMe pages to make this move happen for them, moving back to Africa. Again, for me, it was just food for thought, but at the end of the day, I'm just gonna, I think I'm gonna wrap this up, and on the next episode, I'll be more specific and more intentional and presenting some more, content for you, as it relates to relocation. I do believe there are more ties that bind us than separate us, for sure. I believe language and culture is so important to all of our economic and political and social systems. This is why I love language and culture so much, and why I became a secondary educator of language. It just allows you to find commonality rather than differences. It helps you evolve and to grow your mindset. Helps you to become more respectful with appreciation, because we're all unique and special, and really there's no judgment when you feel that way. I will say that when you take the time to really get to know someone, you know, that seeking first to understand, then be understood, which comes from that wonderful book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. Wonderful concepts. But it offers you a chance to, you know, just develop empathy, forgiveness, all those good qualities of being a human being. I also want to say social media can be a beast, right? To negative influences. But also, I should say social media can be a positive tool, you know, if we use it correctly. So allow me to wrap up this episode. I'm going to continue the discussion again in a part 2, but I hope I made some interesting points for you to think about. For continuing the discussion. Yeah, for continuing the discussion. But until next time, as always, in love, peace, and strength. You all take care. Until next time.